The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
Well, hello there, and you're very welcome along to Tommy Rooney's favourite episode of The Football Pod. 5,418 days, 43 provincial wins, and 14 Leinster titles in a row. The dynasty is dead. The Royals have struck back and beaten Dublin. James O'Donoghue, the big reveal. Zip down that jacket, buddy. It's two against one today.
Huh? What are you talking about?
Look at that.
I don't know where I picked up this jersey either, but I'll tell you what, it is
pathetic.
I had it on. From 15 minutes gone in the match, I had it on.
This is meant to be professional cutting edge journalism, and fucking Mutt and Jeff come on here. Jesus Christ.
I'm missing. I'm only winding the patio. But what a game. What a weekend again.
Oh, brilliant stuff. I've just thrown on the mid 88 jersey because to me, that performance had a bit of 88 in it. It had the guts. It had the hits. Conor Duke made a foul on Paddy Small, and I never roared as loud in my life. In previous years, Paddy Small would have sauntered through the Meath defence and buried into the back of the net. Dukey just took him out of it. A 21-year-old just took him out of it, and Dublin got their free. There were just so many moments from Meath. Brian Menton coming back from retirement to win. Like, Paddy, the kickout stats were scary today. And, like, that's not just down to Stephen Cluxton. I don't think he had a greatest day, but Meade at the live in the break for so long.
That's down to Brennan, I think, a lot of that. Tactically, he was absolutely spot on both kickouts. Like, and aerially, in fairness, Meade have a lot of big men. But you can have big men and be nowhere out there. You have to be in the right spots or you'll be exposed. And they were in the right areas all the time. And that you were able to, you have your base then for attacks constantly.
That was the platform. That was a huge platform for them. And unfortunately, from Dublin side, you know, this check has been in the post for a while. Even listen, warning signs for this particular group. First half in Tralee, definitely the game up in Armagh. And we were on 5 weeks ago for that performance against Tyrone and Oma. And you're kind of writing off and hoping that there's cobwebs were being dusted off and all that type of thing, but again, the Wicklow performance was not good enough. And today, you have to say, hands down, Meade were a better team, and it's full value. It's not only the big win in the first half or the rules or anything like that. Meade far, far better all over the pitch. Midfield was a huge platform, but yeah, well, it's not Cluxton's kickouts. It's the thing we said from day one this season. A lot of people focused on Dublin losing, you know, all the All-Ireland medals and all this experience and stuff like that. But they lost huge quality in the players as well. Like, Fitzsimons is still their man marker. That says it all. And he's 35, 36 years of age. So they've lost him. Small came back. That's his first match. And God knows how long. Probably showed a little bit. And then you take out Fenton and McCarthy around the middle. We said from day one, midfield was going to be a problem for Dublin. And it came home to roost today. Defensively, like, they are in massive, massive trouble. And it was shown today. But can I just say,
for
those Meade players, and Robbie Brennan, exceptional first season in. You know, I'm sure lots of Meade managers, Andy McEntee, Mick O'Dowd, all these guys are over the years, Colin Murrock, have tried to get that energy and that fight into Meade. But look, they're playing against a better Dublin team, but they just couldn't see it. So he's created an environment for those players to do it. But those players, unbelievable credit. Only 4 or 5 weeks ago, lads, we were talking about the two coaches walk out and they were playing Carlow in the first round of the championship. And Jimmy, you went big saying this could be the end of their season. And at the time, you're thinking that is a reasonable statement to make because the players had invested so much in these two exceptional coaches that came in. So those players, over the last 4 weeks, to win three championship matches on the spin. Okay, Carlo, they're expected to win. Offaly, there was a bit of pressure on them and they delivered. And today, an outstanding performance all over the pitch. Phenomenal stuff. I think those Meade players deserve all the credit. I thought it was an incredible performance from them.
James, you also said how this was their opportunity to grab their careers by the scruff of the neck. And that's something that they've certainly done in the last couple of weeks. What stood out to you from that performance today?
Well, I couldn't agree more with that because those players must have come together and said, we can go this way or that way. And they've gone a career-changing direction. Like, to knock Dublin out there has got all their supporters back on side. I've been saying for the last couple of weeks, it's like the team was kind of coming, but I don't think they've gotten full, we're all in it together, like maybe they haven't done Donegal under McGuinness. And do you know, when you're going somewhere special like that, you need the supporters in behind. You need all the management team, the players in the same direction. But sometimes it takes one result to just start it off. And I think, I'm hoping for me to say, this was it. Like, what an unbelievable performance. And
this has to be the spark, Jimmy, doesn't it? Like, this has to be the spark for get that fire going. The one caveat I'd say, I know we're going to talk later on, they play Loud in the final. We'd have to back this up. It's not like when Cork beat Kerry in 2020 and then they lost the Munster final to Tipperary. We'd have to back this up, and that's where Robbie Brennan is going to come in massively over the next 2 weeks, because the reaction to this, it's only a couple hours old, lads, and we see the reaction online across the media, the reaction in Meath, which is going to be brilliant. Huge crowd are going to be at that Leinster final, but they've got to back it up. But sorry for jumping the gun
it will be smacked. But like, I think we can't, like, Meath played unbelievably well, but the way that they managed the conditions as well, so they obviously had a huge advantage at the start of the match with the wind, and you can come out of the game maybe too tentatively, you can try and feel your way into the game, and you can almost miss your chance to make hay with the wind. They went and they tried to score heavily straight out of the bat. They went for the two-pointers. They were working scores, kicking on site. They missed a load. Robbie Brennan was pulling his hair out on side of the field because they were actually missing as well. But they were creating so much. They were going for the game. And because they scored so heavily, it gave them something. It gave them something to hang on to. And it gave them that belief. So I give them all the credit in the world, because they were bad enough and brave enough then to hang on to lead and not give Dublin that lifeline. Now, they tried to actually when they got turned over, and obviously Costello gets the goal. But even after that, they stemmed the tide. So you'd have to say they'd reached somewhere deep in the gut and pulled out a great result as well.
Jimmy? They took advantage of conditions because they had the quality to fucking do it.
Yeah.
And that is the glaring thing on our side. Like, this was not an ambush or a refereeing decision. That made it more played the better football here, like, and executed the better football. James Conlon, Owen Frain, Matthew Costello, absolute tore that Dublin defence to shreds and had the quality to do that in the first half and in the second. Like, Owen Frain kicks an unbelievable score. Conlon gets his fifth point from play in the second half, when not only did the quality, they were big moments, because Dublin were always going to come, and particularly when Costello gets the goal and conditions are in their favour. I'm sure Meath supporters were sitting in the stands or watching it on TV kind of going, we knew this was coming. Are Dublin going to get out of this? But they didn't deserve to get out of it. And that's because of Meade's quality dominated around the middle third. That was the platform. Dublin had no platform. And that's testament to the men Meade had around the middle. Pat O'Coughlin-Byrne wins a couple of kickouts for Dublin, but that was Meade's area to pitch. And again, Robbie Brennan, the way they were set up, but also those players they execute. But inside, Frain, Conlon, quality. Proper quality. And like, they should have scored even more.
Like you mentioned, James, the early wides, right? Like, with the wind, I was a little bit like, oh God, don't lose the energy, right? Because I've seen it happen so many times with me teams where they'd have a chance. And Paddy, I've referenced the 2019 Leinster final, and nobody else will remember this, but that day, Meade kept Dublin to 5 points at halftime, but they only scored one themselves. They froze. But the thing was, that was in Croke Park. A little bit of credit here has to go eventually, when their bloody provincial championship was on its knees, the Leinster Council took the semi-finals out of Croke Park for the first time since 1995. That had an impact today. James, it did.
It did. 100% it did, but I mean, Jesus Christ. The horse has bolted, it said. Do you know what's next? The All-Ireland quarterfinals and the All-Ireland semi-finals. Until they can fill the stadium, keep it out of Croke Park, because that's how you have days like today.
I fully agree with you. But I just want to make a note on the oxygen, right? Because, and the momentum. Because when the Dublin onslaught came, and Conn and Costello and Kilkenny and Paddy Small are still in their forwards. I know Sean Bugler was a big loss. But when they were going at Meade, and they were turning a lot of Meade attacks over in around midfield, they had a high press on. They got their goal.
Yeah, they got a little bit of joy out of that,
yeah. Yeah, they got a goal. They got a two-pointer. and you were like, oh, Jesus. Fair enough. They put up a great fight. Dublin still have the boys there. Meade still dug it out. I'll be honest, I was broken with about 10 minutes ago.
The timeline of your WhatsApp were getting more and more desperate. As I said, lads, I was literally coming out of the hospital with my 36-hour-old daughter. And Doreen is like, please put your phone away. We need to get our daughter home safe. And I was like, the fucking Doves need to pull this out of the bag.
I had planned to start the pod by welcoming lovely little Eden to the pod and to the world.
Yeah, what a bad... Yeah. That was our first experience of the Doves like today. And I was like, promising her, I was like, Eden, it's not going to be like this. Trust me. There's better days ahead.
It might be.
No, Hugo was October 23, so he didn't even see the last one. Like, geez, it's going to be a while before they're looking at Sam Maguire, I would imagine, unfortunately. But yes. You're right, Tommy. Like, first 10 minutes of that game, you could just see they were like... They were all over Dublin. Like Kieran Caulfield, we say he's an exceptional player of the Sigerson with these.
Excellent player, isn't he?
He's quality, but he's a good defender. He's like
he took off from Niall Scully at one stage, Paddy, and they were neck and neck in midfield. Scully maybe was injured or something. He gets whipped about 3 minutes later.
Scully wasn't at his best.
Yeah,
but it's his mentality. Tell me, you could see, and this is what I'm talking about. I mean, Menton, obviously, he's been around the block. Donald Keoghan, these guys. You could just see there was a sense of Meade coming out today, and it was like, and this is what Robbie Brennan would have to create in that team. Now, like, this is not Dublin of your nightmares over the last decade. This is not that team. The genie's out of the box here, lads. Like, the aura around Dublin is gone. But it was still, for some teams, particularly in Leinster, who've been on serious beatdowns for basically their whole career, on the back of Dublin teams, that scar tissue can be there. But Meade, you could just see straight away from today, they were like, we're coming after you guys. They went after Clustin's kickouts. They went after Dublin in possession all over the pitch. Like Caulfield, Jack Flynn, Menton around midfield. And like I say, the three boys inside were just like, there's no Keane O'Sullivan or Johnny Cooper here minding the house. Whoever's on us, you mentioned it last week, Jimmy, about it. You go in and you jog into your position and go, I actually fancy this one here today. Mm-hmm. And that was the mentality Meade. And you can see it in the first 10 minutes. And it was a great play to go with that win at the start of the game and get off to such a fast start. Should have been further ahead. But from minute one, and yeah, Dublin had their purple patch in the third quarter. But again, their quality let them down. And this was something we've seen. Most notably, you know, people are talking about Dublin defensively are not at the races, and look, that's evident. Obviously, we've seen that so many times already this season. But up front, erratic shooting, you know, they don't have the quality to take advantage of the 2-point rule. We've seen this most notably that game in Armagh. I was really worried. Dublin get on top in the second half of that, and they just start taking crazy shots and can't get it back. And we've just seen that again today. And from, you know, blue chip experienced players, if Khan isn't shooting the lights out or Kieran's not chipping in with massive scores, Dublin looks so, so ordinary. And that's, there was problems all over the pitch for them today. That's because of what Meade's approach.
Yeah. Do you know when they look as ordinary as I've seen them in a long time, Paddy? It was when they broke, right? And I think Ross McGarry tried to give a hand pass to Basquel. They'd got the goal and they were coming. And they had a turnover on the fence and they were breaking. And next thing, it was like the unthinkable. They got turned over when they were nearly through for a guaranteed score. And it was at that stage I was like, yeah, this isn't Dublin. I think like straight away after, McEnany kicks the ball back over the sideline. He goes back. He actually kicks it to Meade, fella back over the halfway line. So like they made some completely uncharacteristic mistakes.
Hold on, turn over.
Meade did take advantage of that then. Jimmy, Meade were also making mistakes, but Dublin's one that you are on.
Jimmy, those mistakes are no longer, they are not uncharacteristic mistakes. This is not the same team, not the same players. And this is the massive challenge ahead for Dublin going forward. The standards that have been set are nowhere near what's currently in the group. And those mistakes, decision making, execution, they're actually becoming characteristics, not uncharacteristic. We are seeing that time and it. Watch Dublin's. I've watched every one of their games this season and shades of this last year as well. Unfortunately, those things are happening in every game. This is not 5 years ago. We're going, that's unthinkable that that could happen. You're going, you're nearly waiting for it to happen. And that is the quality. It's missing. It is. It's missing.
You can tell it's missing from the core of the group because they were, Meath were 2 points, or they were, how many were Meath at the closest? What was in it?
They got back to two.
Back to two. And Basquiat kicks for a 2-pointer, but he leaves it miles wide on the right. Then Kilkenny shoots for a 2-pointer and it doesn't even go to play. Like, there's no doubt that because they're just not operating at full level, that their decision-making is off and then they're forcing it. And one thing leads to another. It's just like this.
There was also, James,
round and round.
I thought there was a moment as well that was quite telling. Dublin get a 45. Cormac Costello stands over it. The commentators in GA Plus are like, oh, is Cluxton coming up? Costello waves him up. Then Cluxton gets waved back. Then Costello slips. And I know, look, there's an element of luck with that too. But the decision-making was off.
Yeah,
I felt there was one stage as well where Conn O'Callaghan was bearing down on goal and he had all the time in the world and he did the right thing, but he was waiting. He was ready to make a goal. He was ready to make a goal chance and he waited and he waited and nobody made the right move and he had to just punch it over the bar. So,
look, but I think it's important we don't get too stuck in Dublin because it's such a day for Meath. And one fella that stood out for me all through, especially in the first half, was Frayne, because all he wanted to do was pull the trigger. Any angle from the left, he was pulling it. And I think he got two pointers in the first half. And he also had one where Cluxton brilliantly tipped it over to take away the 2-pointer, bring it back to a one. But the threat of him kicking the 2-pointers, it gives you so much belief that we can pull away here. And it also puts doubt in the opposition's mind. It's like, we need to stop that fella. And it opens up even more space. Like, he was so trigger happy, I think.
But his best score, Jimmy, was the second half when he goes cuts inside Davy Byrne again.
Steps. Yeah. Apparently, he took too many steps. So we'll get to that later.
Look, that's all right. Now, look, to be fair to the referees, there was a big emphasis on it this week. I just want to see them do that every week. You know, when a bit of focus comes on, it's like the weekend they do it, and then it goes out the window again. But on Frayne.
Oh, it was a hell of a score. Hell of a score.
On Frayne, we spoke. The Meath Loud game, the last game of the National League, we obviously did a bit of a piece on that, Tommy. We were both watching it that day, and Meath shooting was not good that day. And it was that Loud where Morgs, and that's a rematch at Leicester final in 2 weeks' time. Loud looked like a team who were just further down the road than Meath. More clinical, smarter on the ball. And Frayne had a tough day. Again, conditions were tough. But for players like that, you said it, Jimmy, at the start of the show, it's rare young lads come in and they shoot the lights out like that. It usually takes time, at a season or two. We're seeing it. I think Rob Finnerty is a great example of this. He looks like he's gone to the next level as a player because he's got that confidence now on the back of, you know, winning an All-Star with Galway and things like that. Frayne's not at that level yet. But a performance like today for someone like him and five or six of those other guys in that main team, the likes of Caulfield and stuff, that can be the launch pad to move them through. The quality they've shown is there. The thing now that makes you a top player and helps me win Leinster Championships and try and move on the All-Ireland Series in this, you know, 3-4 years in the making. You need days like today to do that and to go out and shed the demons that's been there with me in Dublin for like 15 fucking years, lads, since 2010. I was there the last time that happened. so it's what a day for them, but the quality of those guys showed. And that's the point I'm making. Dublin are in a tough place. What I want to see from Meath's side, and I know obviously vested interest, want Gerard to do very well, but Loud, from Meath's side, they have to back this up. They have to back this up with that performance in Croke Park in 2 weeks' time because there's a bit of pressure now. This is a new situation for them, where they're probably going in as favourites to the Leinster final. And
I don't know about that.
Tommy, they're after WAP in Dublin. Meath will be favourites.
One to four.
Those players have to deal with that. So, but that's the exciting thing for them. If you're a Meath player, Tommy, cut the shit here. Like, oh, we don't want to be fair. Players should be going into that game going, yes, this is what we're here for. We've taken out Dublin. Fuck them. They're finished. Get out of our way. we're going to the Croke Park to win the Leinster title for me. That has to be the mentality. And that's where Robbie Brennan comes in for the next 2 weeks as well. Everything he's done, it's been exceptional since that issue they had at the end of the National League. So that's what I'd love to see from Meade in 2 weeks' time.
I would say, not Tommy, if you don't win it, no. I mean, like, it's basically name on the trophy stuff.
James, there's a lot that goes into it.
You're going to be a nervous wreck here, Tommy.
I forgot I have my Meade jersey on. I've just taken it off there and I'm going to pack it away again for a couple of weeks. Time. No, I'm joking. Meade and Louth, right? Leinster final. Louth, like, let's not like dismiss this now. The people in Louth are absolutely delirious today. They have now gone to three Leinster finals in a row, and all of a sudden, Meade have knocked out Dublin, and now they have an opportunity to do what they've been
revenge
towards.
Revenge.
Yeah, forget about revenge, Paddy. Right?
That's the narrative, Tommy. That's what it's got to be.
Yeah, true. But forget about revenge. But like, think of that squad themselves and how they have driven themselves from the lows that they were in, the Mickey Hart era, bounce back from Hart, getting to an All-Ireland quarter-final last year. And we've seen the progress, a good performance against Dublin last year in the Leinster final, not good enough. Now they have an opportunity in Louth to do something that is 70 years since Louth last won. I'm going to get that wrong here. I better double check that, but it's a long time since Louth last won.
Yeah. I think, was it John Heston said on GA Plus, he actually said that point. He said it very well. It was like, John Loud would have been thinking, even if we lose the Leinster final, we're second seeds, we're in the Sam Maguire, we're safe. Yes. You know, and they'd have felt good about themselves. But now, with Dublin gone, they'd have been...
They'd have been thinking,
this is now our chance. Like, this has completely changed their mindset. It'd be interesting to see how they go into it, because they'd have got that huge boost from Dublin going out. I know, like, you might say it's weak mentally to be relying on another result, but like, that's human nature. It's
reality.
It is the reality. Yeah. They're delighted that Dublin are up. And me, the ones that put them up. So both sides are coming into this on a euphoric high. And this,
I think,
chance,
it's a brilliant final. I think it's a brilliant final. Like, it really is. And I know we did a show with Meade. When did we do that, Tommy? Like, we were having a bit of a chat with a couple of friends down in Trim there a few weeks ago. And we were nearly laughing. The Leinster Championship is a great championship without Dublin. Leinster Championship, it's what a final we're going to see. And what a game. Like, on Louth specifically, we may chat about them now, their performance against Kildare.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
The big plus for them, I thought Kildare did a lot of good stuff in that game, lads. A lot of good stuff. First 20 minutes was the best I'd seen from Kildare in... Jesus, I'd say nearly since the McGeaney reign. But some of the old habits kicked in, a little bit erratic with shooting, a little bit erratic in possession. But also just that experience with Louth. We said this is what Louth did against Meade that last day in the National League to secure kind of their status in Division 2. If you look, the game is level with 4 minutes to go and Kildare have two attacks, long periods of possession. One of them, they end up just hitting a Hail Mary ball inside to try and get a break off Kevin Feely. And the other one, it's a hand pass turnover, just a mix-up. Corner forward trying to get it to Derek Irwin. Just sloppy play. It was a team that was kind of out on their feet because they'd worked so hard. And the team just haven't been in that position of winning games. Loud go up the other end. They have two plays and they kick 3 points. One is the score, and then Tommy Durnan with an absolute monster two-pointer. And it was just a team who are a little bit more composed and a little bit further down the track. And the biggest plus for Louth today, okay, winning the game, obviously. Sam Mulroy was back. Mm-hmm. Craig Lennon was back. Sam Mulroy kicks 9 or 10 points. Craig Lennon gets 3 points. Tommy Durnan's in from the start. He obviously only came on the last thing against Leash. Louth, the challenge they've had all year is getting these guys, their bodies, their main guys back on the pitch. And like, these are key players. They're the three best players for Louth. So for Louth to stay in Division 2, missing all these guys, but the plus was to get them on the pitch today. They all delivered. And it was a brave effort from Kildare. That little bit of quality, that maybe that little bit of inexperience in their team came through, but that's fine. They have a long journey ahead of them. Maybe the Tailteann Cup, and potentially they'd be a strong team in that. Might not be the worst thing for the development of that team. I know they won't see it that way this evening, but for Louth, Durnan, when it was in the melting pot, what a fucking performance. And what a battle now, that Meade midfield against that Louth midfield.
Can I come in there, right?
It was a brilliant finish to that game, and credit to Louth.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Durnan point. He feels the kick out before that, and Louth keep
unbelievable play.
It was an unbelievable move.
But that's experience, Tommy.
Yeah.
That's experience. And that Lough team has been on this journey for 4 or 5 years.
And use two boys are trying to make Loud or Meade favourites for the Leinster final. You think
it's Meade to lose? It's Meade to lose.
There's going
to
be so much
I'm looking at
what are you going to do, Tommy? If Meade win the Leinster championship, what are you going to do? Like,
I'm not working on it.
Your head will Your head will explode. Like,
when they win it,
we need to do the football pod live from the Leinster final.
Yeah, well, let's try and do that. Lads,
the Delaney Cup is back. I've had that Delaney Cup in the boot of my car for the last 10 years.
Yeah, you have. James, let me just make a point. I don't want to put myself on mute again like last week. Just give me 1 second here, okay? I mentioned 70 years since Loud last won a title. 68 years since their last great team won a Leinster title in 57. They've obviously had good teams before that, but 57. And we mentioned this is 3 Leinster finals in a row for Loud. I felt Kildare played some of the best football I've seen Kildare play in the last couple of months,
first 20 minutes was very impressive.
But I was really impressed, Paddy, with some of their decision making later in the game as well. I haven't seen that in some of the Kildare games I've covered. There's a young team coming there in Kildare, good signs today. But Loud were the real team there today, and they illustrated that late on. You mentioned the boys that have come back. The quality of Kieran Downey being back and being fit, he was missing last year. Kieran Byrne is the one big loss they have. Surely there is a huge pressure on this Loud team to deliver as well, and they've had a tough couple of weeks with bodies, right, and trying to get people right, and the stress of not knowing is my hamstring going to be 100%. James, can I just ask you about their mentality now? Surely this is like the greatest release to actually have this now for the next couple of weeks, that you've got this Meade Leinster final. They'll be absolutely itching to get to 100%.
I think so. I think that little mentality change where they were happy but now they've got this unbelievable career changing chance, like that helps with your injury recovery as well. Like you're suddenly feeling like, do you know, actually the hamstring isn't that bad. Or, you know, if you're getting into the oxygen chambers you spoke about before, you're getting into the cryotherapy, you're getting hands on every day now. I mean, it's whatever you can do to be involved in that day, because Loud will think that they're favourites. I mean, 3 in a row is no mean feat. Like that's good going.
100% be favourites. Yeah. It doesn't matter. I know, but they will be.
Tommy, you're going too strong on this now. You're going too strong. It's very...
He's 50-50. Lost control already.
He's trying, yeah. He's trying to make it into Meade or these massive underdogs. They're not, Tom. They've just beaten the Dubs.
They're not massive underdogs. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying the biggest thing I'd say, to being the second best team in Leinster for the last 3 years. Now go and claim top dogs in Leinster.
I'd say for both sets of players, right? There's pressure on both sets of players to deliver here, right? Because it is a massive opportunity for them. Like, the reality is, Leinster championships to Dublin players were irrelevant. That's just how it had become over the last decade or so. But for both these groups of players, this is a phenomenal opportunity to create history. To create history. And that's what I'm saying. Meade, it's brilliant today, but they've got to go and in 50 years' time or 20 years' time when the lads retire, they won't really focus on winning the Leinster semi-final if they don't back it up and win it. Win the final against Loud. And that's the same for Loud's side. All the progress they've made, all the work under Mickey Hart and carried on with Ger Brennan, those players will put pressure on themselves to deliver, because we can win the Leinster championship here. You know, like nearly 70 fucking years since they won it. So they won't need external people to put pressure on them, and the build up in Meade and Loud is going to be amazing. We know the rivalry between those counties. The Leinster final has become all of a sudden, you know, it's a big game in the GAA calendar now, because it hasn't been, you know. So all outside those camps, there will be folks in this game, but the players will be putting pressure on themselves, because this is such a massive opportunity to have a day of days in your career. That's on the line for both teams.
But you know, like Meade went to Croke Park in 2023 in the Tailteann final and won the trophy. Right now, you might kind of say that means nothing. Like, that does mean something. They've gone to Croker, delivered, and brought home silverware. Loud have gone to Croke Park last 2 years in Leinster final and lost. Now, does it matter in the scheme of things? Probably not to Loud, but to Meade, they'll have that winning feeling in Croke Park and they'll want it again, and they'll know how to do it and what they did maybe that time. And they just have the experience of delivering in a final. And that could actually have a little bit of impact for them. It might make it easier in the preparations. I'm just actually looking at a classic photo here. It's of Craig Lennon, right? celebrating.
Oh my God.
Yeah, see.
After kicking up for the 45, and every other player is hands on the head going, what have you just done?
I was dreading, just for him alone, if that 45 somehow ended up in the net over an extra time.
Because they got two 45s out of it as well.
Two goes at it, it was. But he was brilliant today, four loud. But that moment, I seen the pass. It's a great what are you doing?
I think the keeper is celebrating too, who had a brilliant game. He made two brilliant saves.
The big thing, we'll build up to the final, obviously, in 2 weeks' time, because we obviously want to talk about what happened in Ulster as well.
Unbelievable
game there in Clonus yesterday. The big focus for that Leinster final, these teams played each other 5 weeks ago on the last day of the league, and Loud were a team that just had, they nearly bullied Mead around the pitch. They were further on that, and that was Mead obviously lose Jordan Morris right at the end of that game. And who does that Mead do? Jordan Morris would shoot the lights out against Dublin. But what have Mead learned since that? If they're in that situation again, it's going to be a close game. Can they show that composure, that Loud seem to just that bit of experience, that little bit of physicality they showed? They kind of dominated Mead when they needed to. Can Mead turn that around in the space of 5 weeks? Just things to focus on. Like I say, this has all of a sudden become one of the biggest, one of the most hotly anticipated games of the summer. And we were not thinking that. Yeah. When did we record last? Well, 5 days ago. A lot has happened in the last 5 days, but things have changed massively, which is great.
It is. Can I just make one other point here? Because we've got to move to Ulster. But another major implication from the game today is where Dublin now appear in the All-Ireland series. They are entering as third seeds, and they've moved Derry down as fourth seeds. So a confirmed first they've moved or Derry second down.
There's going to be some group. There's going to be one group of death here.
So the confirmed first and second seeds are your eight provincial finalists. So you've got Kerry Clare, you've got Donegal Armagh, which we'll get there. You've got Meath and Louth, and you've got Galway and Mayo. The third seeds confirmed are Dublin, Monaghan, Roscommon, Tyrone. The fourth seeds that are confirmed are Derry, Cavan, Cork and Down. Kildare are obviously in the Clatchan Cup. So there are, and I noticed we are obviously heading to cover our roadshow. We haven't even mentioned it yet. We're actually about to do a reveal on our guests. We've got two phenomenal guests coming this week as well. We've got a roadshow this Friday night in Galway. I am not going to talk about Mead, I promise. It's going to be unbelievable. Enda McGeerty of the RF pod, they have their own show in Swinford that night. He's already visualised, so he's a Mayo man, already visualised a dream scenario and a nightmare scenario for Mayo, right? So the worst best scenario is that Mayo could get in their groups. You lose the Connacht final and you end up in a group with Donegal, Mayo, Dublin and Derry. You win the Connacht final, and this is a nightmare scenario, you end up in a group with Mayo, Armagh, Dublin and Derry. This is the best scenarios they could get. You win it and you end up with a Clare, Roscommon and Cavan, or you lose it and you've got Meath, Roscommon and Cavan. But those, someone is getting an unbelievable group. James, who would you like to see arrive down to Killarney if Kerry get the job done as first seeds? Who are the third seeds that you would like to arrive to Killarney for their round one game? Come on, Jimmy. What does Dublin, the town want?
Dublin, Kerry, Killarney would be fucking sensational.
They'd have to start ordering pint bottles down to Killarney right now if Dublin were coming down.
Can you promise us that if Dublin and Kerry are meeting in round one, that instead of doing the housewarming on Zoom, you'll invite me and Paddy down and we can stay that night?
I will. Oh, stay. No, not stay. You can call. You can see the garden. You might come in. I see. No, you can, of course, call in. But I think, that group that Kerry could get now if they beat Clare, it could be frightening. Even like a Tyrone in Killarney, a Dublin in Killarney, there'd be huge crowd. With the new rules, there's going to be a bigger crowd at all these games. I think Kerry got one in last year in the group. It was complete squib. Like there was.
You did it on GA Go. You weren't even at it, Jimmy.
You watched it. You curled up on the couch and fell asleep.
I saw highlights on the
side. I was at it, Jimmy. You live 10 minutes. You live 5 minutes from the ground, and I was at it. And you weren't. Look, lads, Jonas,
let's not get the blood flowing.
What a championship! This, we said before, and this was going to be, yes, the rules are playing their part, but there's,
it's all about the rules.
The gap between the teams is, we'll talk about Tyrone now. Tyrone and Armagh, Tyrone have a sting in their tail for team. I was very impressed with them. Dublin, as bad as they were today, they can still take a team out. Bugler will make a difference there. Dublin are not going to win the All-Ireland, but nobody's going to want them in, as third seeds either as well. So the competition between lots of the teams has made it brilliant. The rules have made it exceptional, but what an exciting 8 weeks ahead. People shit on Gaelic football for so many years. We're back, baby. It's phenomenal stuff. Ulster Championship, Tommy, bring us to Clonus yesterday. What a game.
Okay. Let's pause on that thought, Paddy. We're going to take a quick break on the football pod and we're coming back with Ulster. The football pod is brought to you every week with thanks to AIB, proud sponsor of the Senior Football Championship. Where are they bringing us this week, Paddy? We're on the road on Friday night. Where are we off to?
We're off to Galway,
Out west.
I can't wait for it. Yeah, the we've got a brilliant show lined up. We've actually added a couple of tickets on. There was a load of them went before the weekend. We're announcing our guests tonight, right now. Okay, so in the Galway corner, to add a bit of a little bit of decorum and a little bit of balance to the setup, we've one of the finest fullbacks of his generation. Finian Hanley is joining us on the night.
A good man as well. A good man.
To add a little bit of stardust and a little bit of the villain in the corner, perhaps we can get him to take that Undertaker entrance. I am really looking forward to welcoming this guest to the football pod. And anyone in the Galmont is going to be treated to the Michael Conroy experience.
Oh.
This is going to be saucy. And I can't wait.
He has
wait
a few stories in the locker, in fairness.
He's ready to go. And he made a promise. He said, Tommy, I'll do the pod for you only if the boys go out in the beer with me that night. So we have a night out in the town in Galway.
Send them my apologies, but you give Mikey Conroy 3 pints before he goes on stage and we're in for a good night there, lads.
You're allowed an excuse there. But yeah, Michael Conroy, debut at 19 in an All-Ireland final. He has a bit of a journey to make it back with the Mayo again, the Mayo seniors again, but he scores 1-1 on that debut. And I think he started 3 All-Ireland finals for Mayo. I'm not sure he ever started a Connacht final, which is a really interesting quirk. But
man for a big day. Really, that's why he's perfect for the road show. He's there really for the big road show.
Yeah. Can't wait to hear what they have to say about Galway Mayo. We're back after this. Right, tickets, sorry. I'll put up the story. I'll put up the link. You can still get a couple of tickets. There's still a few left. We're in the Galmont Hotel and Spa Friday night, 7 p.m. doors, and we'll have a great show for you that night. And will we try and convince AIB and Off the Ball to let us do a show before Meade and Loud? Will we try and do something for the Leinster final? We would.
I think we need to figure something out here, like, because that's become the hottest ticket in town. It was Taylor Swift last year. It's the Leinster football final this year.
We're back. And we'll be back right after this.
OTB GAA.
You're very welcome back to the football pod with Paddy Anders and James O'Donoghue. It's Sunday night. It's nearly 9 o'clock. We need to let James sneak out. Jimmy, you have an appointment.
Sneak out. I have no responsibilities. I don't need to sneak out. I can just...
You have an appointment on your way home.
There's a lovely pint of Guinness waiting for me in Dunlinens. No, well earned. After a tough week.
We just had a fucking baby there 10 minutes ago. Like, I need a pint.
Let the rain out. Okay.
Yeah, to be fair.
From Dan Linehan's to Clonus this weekend. And Clonus actually on Saturday the 10th of May. I think it's going up against Clare and Tipperary at the same time, which is a bit unfortunate. But the game is not going to be in Croke Park. The Ulster final is going to be a glorious occasion. And we've got Donegal and Armagh. After Donegal got the job done today against Down lost by 6 in the end. They put up a bit of a fight. Donegal got over the line. But let's go to Saturday night, Paddy.
Professional from Donegal today. Yeah, Saturday was the game.
Let's go to Saturday night because Armagh, serious character, the character of All-Ireland champions, get the job done. But do you want to start with Tyrone? Is that where you want to go?
No, I think credit to both teams. I thought it was a brilliant game. We spoke a lot about it last week. We expected it to be a top-class game. The big thing was Canavan going to start. He wasn't at his best, but I don't think it was fitness-wise. I think it was just credit to Armagh, kind of marshalled that very well. I thought overall Armagh probably did deserve it, but the big thing from takeaway from me, from Malik O'Rourke and those Tyrone players, there's so little in that game between these two teams. These are the type of games that Armagh had lost for 2 or 3 seasons down the stretch, point here and a point there. And Beghini was always adamant that, you know, we're not that far away. And he was right, they weren't. There's so little between these teams. We've seen it with McStay last year, with Mayo losing games. You know, Connacht final, dodgy enough call, Conor Gleeson kicks the score, and the whole narrative changes. And that was where Tyrone were yesterday. You look the last 66 minutes on the clock, they're 22-20 up. and they have two attacks. Michael McKiernan goes along the end line, and to be fair, Soupy Campbell gets a tackle on him. McKiernan is looking for this free, to be fair. And Goff, one thing about David Goff, he backs himself, he makes the big call, and he made that call. McKiernan was trying to play for it, but a lot of refs, because he easily seen Soupy Campbell's arm coming across, and gave the free, and that would put Tyrone 3 up and probably win the game. And put Tyrone, Armagh go up and get a score. Soupy Campbell gets a score off that. And then a massive play. And I just thought this was incredible. And epitomised what Armagh were about. They're such a team. Jimmy, you've said it a few times. They've lost Rian O'Neill, that's Stardust. He was the outlier nearly, the X-factor player. But what they've developed over the last two or three seasons. And again, that All-Ireland win, you can just see a confidence about them. They have such strength across their squad. I thought Ross McCullough was exceptional yesterday. He kicks 3 points. He's wearing number 5, but he's playing...
He's class.
He's playing fucking every position around the pitch. He was exceptional. But Derek Hanavan gets a ball. Again, it's 22-21. Cuts across the D. Do you remember this play?
Great tackle.
And he does the bounce, and you think he's away now. He's going to kick the score. And that could have been an insurance point nearly. And McQuillan comes in with an exceptional tackle. It's so good. Armagh keep the ball then for the next 2 minutes until they get that equalising score. And it's that play wins them the game. That Ross McQuillan, a guy who's not a superstar, he's been asked to do a job, but he's got pace. They're so well coached there, man. And here's a guy who just has a massive influence on the game. And I have so many players like that. And that's what McGeaney and Donaghy and McKeever and these guys have created. He makes an exceptional play on Tyrone's danger, man. Armagh keep the ball for the next 2 minutes, kick the equaliser, and then Jarley O'Byrnes wins the dodgy kick out from Morgan. Another unbelievable performance by him. He was on the bench most of last season.
Yeah.
On the bench most of last season. They work the play to Grugan, pops it into Turbot. Turbot comes off the bench. Fucking hell, like, here's all star legs. So the depth Armagh have, the quality around the team, but those couple of plays, that was the difference between Tyrone losing the game and Armagh winning it. But that was, it said a lot about Armagh, the type of players that made those plays and won them the game in the end. But the margins, so tight.
That tackle by McQuillan, like that was, Canavan had to take the hop because he knew he'd be done for steps. Just think about how that tackle would not have happened if the steps rule is not in place. He'd have just ran around him, taken 40 steps and chipped a point, which is not the skill. The skill is to have to work your plays into it. And I agree, it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable defending. That one-on-one defending is quality. But you know, that's the first point that I want to talk about was obviously Goff was so harsh on the steps, but I think it did make a job of it. And also his performance in general, he was kind of he was trending on Twitter, but for the Turbot foul at the end of the game, did you think that it was a
foul? Your thoughts, go on. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I've watched it about 50 times. I think, what's wrong?
I'll send you an angle that you haven't seen. Go on now, you.
Is it going to change
your mind? But go on. No, sorry. I'm not stopping you.
In normal time, I'm thinking it's soft, but it's probably free. But then when I see the replays, I'm thinking it's really harsh to lose the game on it. Is what I'm thinking.
But Goff will make those calls. I think he deserves. Doesn't always get them right. And look, refs. No, not every ref gets everything right. But he has the balls to make those calls. He made the call with McKiernan and he was totally right. And I think in the end, it was probably...
I've seen that angle, Tommy. Sorry, Paddy.
Do you not think that... I thought that makes it definitely a free.
Look, Turbot's a clever forward. Turbot's looking for any sort of contact there. And it's excellent attacking play. And I would have done the exact same thing. You were waiting for the contact. And if it's any bit sloppy, you're hoping for a free.
I didn't think he was going to give it. Because Petey Hart comes in, it's brilliant for Turbot because he loses Hampsey with a backdoor cut, and Hampsey is only coming back from injury, and it was brilliant from Turbot, and it was brilliant from Rory Grugan, one beautiful of my favourite players, lads. He's smart. Pops it into him, those loopy hand passes in the D. If you're on the end receiving one of them, you just wait for someone to take the head off you. But Grugan makes the play, Turbot gets on it, and Petey Hart comes across, sees it, and looking back, what can he do there? Turbot's bearing the other goal.
He has to make contact with him. He has to get him.
I think somewhere. He says, don't make contact because Turbot has to take a play. If he makes any contact, like you say, Jimmy, and like I would have done as well, you are going to ground her. Just, you're going, someone please come in and tackle me, and please, I'm going down here. Please hit me. And PDR comes in, arms out, like, and it's like, he's, it is harsh, but it's, I think if he just lets him go and just runs with him, Turbot's running into more traffic. They could probably try and get a turnover. But let me say, look, Pete, you're desperate. This is the last play. The Hooter's gone. It's a brilliant moment under the rules again. The drama of it.
I think
ultimately it was a free. Petey Hart does not do a lot wrong. But it's brilliant play from Grugan and from Turbot to Lewis Hampsey. And fair play to Goff for making the call, because lots of refs would have just said, fuck this. Let's do extra time here, lads. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I've been waiting for the behind the goal footage of this, because I wanted to get a screen grab of it. Somebody deserves incredible credit for that final score, right? And you've sort of half mentioned it, right? And it's sort of mentioned on commentary. Jarley Oak-Burns wins the kick out, but he goes down injured. And he goes down injured in the attacking half of the field.
Tony drag him by the ankles, pull him back over.
The Armagh physio drags him back to the defensive side. Him back. Yeah, Armagh physio pulls him back so Rafferty can go.
That's against the rules.
Who does Rory Grugan give play the 1-2 with? Rafferty to Grugan to Turbot. That doesn't happen without the thinking. And
you can see Rafferty is screaming at Jarley Oak to get back. His early on, arm is hanging off. It's like fucking Saving Private Ryan at one stage.
Yeah, because Armagh had two players down. Armagh Hall, I think, was down at the time as well. So Armagh actually had two players down at the time. But just that little bit of ingenuity. You mentioned it about McQuillan earlier on, and you mentioned it about Jarley Oak Burns. And we've spoken in a lot about McGeaney and the depth that they've grown in Armagh. But Callum O'Neill, lads. Callum O'Neill,
exceptional. 3 points midfield.
Second championship start. Unbelievable.
But Tommy, they had 11 different scorers yesterday as well. This is the thing. Armagh, yes, it would be magic to have this superstar in Rian O'Neill, and he'd be nearly like a cherry on top. But they've such quality across their baseline of all their players is at such a high level. They don't have this. You look at the team we were speaking about 10 minutes ago with Dublin, they're up here and then they're down here with some of their players. Armagh have that consistently across, and that's credit to the coaches and the players we're doing. Callum O'Neill comes in. You look at Grimley and Creeley. Creeley comes off the bench. He's obviously injured. But those guys were exceptional in midfield last year. You're thinking, they're not going to improve on that. Callum O'Neill comes in. It's like he's been there for 10 years.
I can't remember who got man of the match.
So settled.
No, McCurry got man of the match.
Darren McCurry. GA Plus fucked it all up now. Ever since I said on air, it has to go to the winner. Mark was doing commentary, was he?
Mark
gave it to McCurry.
McCurry was exceptional. And he was. And you mentioned. Morgan had an off day. The middle third had an off day. Derek Canavan had an off day. Owen McElholm comes in, Paddy. And I know you were impressed with this, Gosson. Still under
sugar. Titans. That guy's got sugar. He is going to be... I like that guy. Obviously,
They have so much producing these forwards.
He's just like, whoa, he's all action.
But they started off with Rory, Dara and McCurry, and they brought on McElhone. I was actually thinking, is that Rory kind of have to come back on again? They are the absolute bitten image of themselves. But come here, I want to say one thing about the strength of both benches, because they had a massive impact on the bench. Stephen Campbell, I know I've mentioned him 50 times on this pod, right? His turnover,
you had him as an all-star, Jimmy.
I did. His turnover on Michael McKernan as he was going in on the end line, right, where he stops him fisting the point. He then gets up the field to kick the point under pressure from the arc as well. That was a good boot. He wanted the
response. That was nearly a two-pointer.
Yeah, it could have been a two-pointer. Yeah. But Turbot comes on, gets a point, and wins a free to equalise. Peter Hart gets that two-pointer outside the left.
Oh,
and
even on the Creeley for Armagh.
Yeah, Creeley was excellent. But even
Creeley comes on.
From McElhone came on and gets those. He wins a free, gets 2 points. Another outstanding. So, like, the way the game has gone, the pace of it is so frenetic that you need a strong bench now more than ever. And I know Armagh have always had it with Campbell. They say, all right, we'll give you 15 minutes to make an impact or whatever. But I think every team is going to need 4 or 5 of those excellent subs to really contribute, because fellas just going to be out on their feet. Like, if you think about Jarlath Oakes' point, was it to equalise, right? He was standing...
To get them back within a point. It was 22-20 and he gets the score on the day.
It was an excellent attack from Armagh, right? But he was standing on his own in the middle of the day. for about 15 seconds waving his hands because everyone was just wrecked. Do you know, your sharpness goes, your vision goes, your concentration goes when you're just that tired. He was just waving his hands. He was actually had no energy to even make a run. And eventually he just gets it and chips it over.
Do you know what, Jimmy? I actually don't think he even wanted to shoot there. He was in that position about 10 minutes beforehand. And I'm shouting at the end. He goes, shoot. Why are you not? And he was like, look at that, pass it off to someone. He's like, if I was in that position, I'd be last resort is passing to someone else. But I agree. The depth of all panels. And that's the point. We started out this conversation by saying how good Tyrone were. Armagh, the question mark with them, this was their biggest game since winning the All-Ireland. Where were they at? I think they answered that
right
very,
there.
Very well. Right there.
Oh, yeah.
With those guys coming back. You know, we said it, winning the All-Ireland could have a hangover for teams who maybe haven't done it before, not used to it, are mad. They put that question to bed. They're laser focused on that Ulster final in 2 weeks' time against Donegal, but having the likes of Creeley, Turbitt, Campbell back on the pitch for them, it's just, like I say, Brad McQuillan is better. Callum O'Neill, it seems like another find as well. They just added to their arsenal. I thought it was a brilliant day for them. But for Tyrone, for Malik O'Rourke, we've seen these sides. They whopped Dublin in the last game of the league. Very clinical against Cavan. McGeary wasn't as anywhere near as influential. That was the caveat I said with him last week. But he's shown glimpses that he's getting back to those levels. But to be able to call on the likes of Petey Hart to come off that class two-pointer. There's 15 minutes, game's in the melt pot. He's somebody you want on the pitch. And then a little bit of stardust like McElhone. Rory Canavan will get there. You know, it's early for him. He's had maybe a tough start to his senior inter-county career, but there's no doubt in his quality. Dara has got there, but Tyrone, all of a sudden, from being in the depths for the last maybe 2 years, are showing signs that they are on serious trajectory. And that's what I'm saying for the All-Ireland series. Nobody's going to fancy playing them as a third seed either, lads. It just sets it up. They're going to have a big say in the summer, I have to say. But credit to Armagh.
It's still April. Like we've got
April 27th, baby.
Such a summer ahead of us.
But they want Armagh. They're right in there to retain. Like 100%. They haven't lost that much. I know we're saying they're down Rian, but they seem to be bang at it. And you know, sometimes maybe an injury or two isn't the worst thing. Because they missed the slog of coming back and it kind of gets you fresh and wanting it again just by taking a month or 6 weeks out. It mightn't be the worst thing, a couple of them carrying a few knocks up to now.
I still think, and this is purely pie in the sky, I'm pulling this one out of my arse here, lads, and sure people are rolling their eyes listening to it, but I just don't see it. I don't see someone retaining the All-Ireland. There's so little between the teams. The margins are so fine. I think it would be a massive ask for Armagh to win it again.
Their management is so strong, though. I think that's a bit of an X factor.
Yeah, maybe. But it's just a hunch. Literally, I'm not basing that on anything else other than I think for them to win the whole thing again, back-to-back, would be phenomenal to do it. But talk about answering any sort of questions there on Saturday. We know how intense that rivalry is. And sorry, that rivalry. Rematch of last year's Ulster final where Armagh lose on penalties again. They're one of their latest heartbreaks. What a game that is set up for in 2 weeks' time. Back in Clonus, not Croke Park. So,
If it does go to penalties, it'd be gas.
There's nothing between these teams. There's nothing between these teams. So it's Leinster final, Ulster final will be, both draws. Both penalties.
Connor final is going to draw as well, lads. That went into last minute.
I think we're going to put something out there.
It's such a pity that Cork didn't beat Kerry. And I mean that with the greatest respect for Kerry.
Instantly.
But imagine Cork and Clare. Imagine we had 4 months of finals this weekend that we're going into the wire. Clare obviously entering the cauldron of Clarny. So I'm not sure. I think the spread is like...
Most of the champs are to be Irish, lads. They should scrap that.
Long live the provincial championship.
Keep the Leinster championship. Leinster championship and the Ulster championship.
It's alive and kicking, to quote Derek Kent from 2 years ago. Well, it is now, I suppose. There are also going to be great occasions. There was a point there I wanted to make and I wanted to jump in on, and it's absolutely not on mine. I'm just going to recap on...
It's why low their strong favourites in the Leinster final.
Michael McMullen's piece. So Oisín Gallan starts his first game today in 8 weeks for Donegal. Kicks a point, lasts less than an hour. I really think they need this guy, Motoren. They need to get it out of him, the form that he had last year.
He's an all-star, he's a serious player.
I know, Paddy, but I think Donegal need him. They actually need him starting. They actually need their attack to be centered around him. Like, I think he just adds that extra bit of dynamism that maybe they're not going to get up there. I just think
Donegal, for me, are very professional in how they've approached the Ulster Championship. They've been favourites for all of the games, and they've executed without, you know, blowing anyone out of the water. So very workmanlike, very professional. It's a tough schedule. We said it. Coming through to win that Ulster Championship from the preliminary side is very, very tough. But I think they are exactly where they want to be. I think Jim McGuinness would be absolutely delighted that his forwards have question marks over them. They've got to go out and perform. You know, that maybe that little bit of tough love, that focus. I think Oisín Gallen will still have a massive summer ahead of him. But I think Donegal are just motoring along exactly how they would like to be. I think, what a game.
Yeah,
I know we're talking
about. It's going to be unbelievable.
It's gonna be, but these are two bona fide All-Ireland contenders in the Ulster final in 2 weeks' time. And do you know what it is? We're like, it was question marks. What are my answer questions this weekend? There's, every team has to answer questions every weekend now because the games are so good and there's
and
so
the
much
rules and the carnage of them.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that it's going up against Clare and Tip on the Saturday evening, like, that's a Clare and Tip two size in their Munster Hurling Championship. They need a win after their defeats today. That is just going to be another.
What is? What's that? The Ulster final is on the Saturday, is it?
The same time as the Munster Hurling Championship round three between Clare and Tip. It's one's at 5:25, one's at 6 o'clock. So,
there's so many games, and it's always
so tough.
There's so many games.
But just to mention, like, just today,
Munster Hurling's a load of shit anyway.
It's rubbish, isn't it?
Scrap Munster Hurling and the Munster Football Championship.
Let's get James Gale on the pot. Michael McMullen's report in the Examiner today. Now, I didn't catch the Donegal Derry game. It's on the BBC. But there was a moment.
Donegal down.
Sean
Respect
Patton,
for the Mourne men.
Sean Patton, otherwise flawless, but with his side leading 118 to 14 points, scuffs a kick out straight into the path of down substitute Shane Miller. Donegal's dashboard lights were flashing. With all eyes on him, Miller decided against squaring the ball to a teammate, and his angled shot was saved by Patton. A goal would have turned up the heat. If our goal chance goes in, the rules, the way they are now, the momentum, everything, said down manager Conor Laverty. I'm not saying we would have beaten Donegal, but I'm saying it would have made it very interesting coming down the home straight. They kick a two-pointer and a point to bring it back to three, but geez, that would have been interesting if it went down to the wire. We haven't seen it. We haven't seen it.
Yeah, but they didn't. Like,
yeah. If we scored three more goals, we'd have actually won by two.
Being the best teams means executing your big chances.
You're only as good as your conversion.
I'm looking forward to watching the Sunday game back tonight so I can catch the highlights of Donegal. And maybe rewatch the new game. Down are fourth seeds now in the All-Ireland draw, as we mentioned.
They'd be a tough fourth seed. They will be a tough fourth seed. They'll be very sticky. You'd fancy them to get a result. Like, the fourth seeds have found it hard to get results in the last 2 years. Did they get no points at all last year? Is that...
There was Westmeath and Sligo had a draw. Tough year. Sligo had a tough year last year in it. Westmeath the year before were close but didn't get a result. So,
I mean, they're stronger this year.
Clare are going to be in it.
No, Clare are second seeds. You've Cork, you've Derry, you have Down and...
Rossies, Cavan.
Derry, Cavan, Cork, Down are the fourth seeds. Derry, Cavan, Cork, Down. Okay. Fellas, we have got a busy week. We have got a roadshow on Friday night in Galway. We have got a members pod coming later this week. We have done our Monday pod. Yeah, an hour in the books. Congratulations to you both. Paddy, fair play to you after the brilliant week in your own household. Big pressure off the back. And a tough day today for the Dubs. You turned up. You always turn up, Pete.
I have to go back into my daughter now. My 36-year-old daughter. She put a smile on my face despite what happened in Port Leash today, lads.
Yeah, no.
And obviously chatting to you guys puts a smile on my face as always.
Congrats. Absolutely. Congrats to you.
Jimmy, enjoy your pints. Tommy, Yale, bollocks. The Royals are back.
They're back, but they're going to get beaten in the Leinster final, according to Tommy. That's going to be the Yarra talk coming out of Meath for the next 2 weeks.
Well, I've learned from the best. Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, thanks very much to everybody tuning in. I enjoyed this week's episode of the Football Pod. We're back on Wednesday.
We're
in Galway Friday night. If you're about, please pop in. We'll put on a show. See you, boys.
See you, boys.
Good night, friends.